When my daughter was 4 months old, I took her on my own on an airplane trip to a minister's meeting in Arizona. Some of you know this story because it's so central to my being. I think I tell it a lot, but it's important in some way. And until we boarded that plane, this whole event was sort of like a puzzle I was working at solving, or a game of chess that I was trying to win. And all of the pieces, and there are many pieces when traveling with a child, car seat, diaper bag, luggage, stroller, and yes, the baby too, all of the pieces needed to be packed away, checked, carried on, or bundled in appropriate spill-proof containers. I planned and I organized until there was no further planning or organization to do. I checked everything off the list, and I set off on this solo cross-country adventure, confident that I'd done everything in my power to pull it off. Everything was great, or at least manageable. Everything went according to my well-executed plan until the moment when the plane had taken off, and suddenly I realized, with a gripping force I could not control, that I was 30,000 feet above the ground, with the most precious thing in the whole world sitting on my lap. And there was not a damn thing I could do to protect her if that plane were to fall right out of the sky. It was she and I, and the immensity of space, and with uncertainty swirling all around us in a world that suddenly felt less than benevolent, it was all I could do in that moment not to burst into tears. In fact, it's all I can do not to burst into tears just thinking about it today. And I am not particularly afraid of heights. I want to cry just thinking about it because I know my fear in that moment had very little to do with flying on a plane. That fear, that overwhelming time when one realizes that this world can be, indeed often is, a dangerous place, is not a moment confined to mothers or airplane passengers or any of the other roles or identities we all may wear at a given time. The reality that this world is sometimes a dangerous one, that we hover above the void without the capacity to address every single potential harm to the ones we love. This reality is so fundamental to the experience of being human that it is not alien to any one of us. The reality that there are dangerous things in this world, that even the best laid plans run smack up against, leaving us breathless and afraid. That, too, is a part of the truth. And perhaps my metaphor is overly limiting, because there are worse things in this world than air stretching out beneath our feet. There are worse things than that particular fear. There is evil in this world. Honest to goodness, evil. Not just things we disagree with or would have done differently, but darkness of the soul that tries to destroy life rather than nurture it. And we Unitarian Universalists are not prone to looking that truth square in the face until we have to, until honesty dictates that we must. We are, in general, optimists. And all y'all in the back, come on in. Come on in. I see people standing outside the doors, and it makes me sad. Come on in. We are, in general, optimists about the state of the human condition. We believe that each and every person has inherent worth and dignity, and even when we are angry with one another, we attempt, to the best of our ability, to stay in relationship long enough to see the good intentions and the bright hopes and the great hunger behind even our bitterest foes. But in the middle of the night, or the fluorescent glow of an airplane cabin, or on a lovely morning when one opens the newspaper and is greeted by incontrovertible evidence that our own neighbors are trying to hurt us, such optimism wavers, and even the most merrily bobbing ship of life enters treacherous waters. I did not want to preach this sermon at all. You should ask the staff how I was behaving all week as I was preparing this. I was mopey and a little depressed because I didn't want to think about it. I didn't want to think about evil, because why would I? Why would you? Why would any of us want to look it squarely in the face? Because sometimes we need to look at unpleasant things. Because the whole human experience is open to us and none can deny that this is part of it. Because sometimes unpleasant things are part of the truth, and because there is an antidote to evil. Not a magic cure-all that will take it all away without effort. I'm not a faith healer up here. There's not a force that will wipe it all away, but there is a force so powerful that if deployed correctly can fight the good fight and bring even the darkest of souls back into harmony with love. The antidote of evil, I believe, is truth. Truth spoken in love. The antidote to evil is not optimism, but truth. Because evil is not an irredeemable state, broken and set for life. Rather, it is a force that lives inside each of us and pushes human beings to hide in the darkness of lies and half-truths, rather than face the challenge of honesty, responsibility, and self-empowerment. Psychologist M. Scott Peck has defined evil as militant ignorance. Refusal to live an honest life. Refusal to live an honest life that actually boils over into harm towards self and others. In this way, evil is a uniquely human phenomenon. It is not the work of God. It is not inherent in the vulture that eats the carrion or the snake that minds her own business until she sees a rat. And theologically, it is very important to state that there is not one ultimate grand source of all evil. In fact, there's no generalized evil at all, just specific evil acts played out in the everyday sphere of human existence. We don't particularly need to make up the devil in order to see evil working in this world. We just have to listen to the lies people tell. Not the noble lies which protect the innocent or any of that good business, but just lies. The kind that only exist to perpetuate more lies. Evil is born out of lying. And we human beings pretty much have a corner on that market. So evil is a business best addressed right here in the realm of human experience and not shoved off into some corner of the heavens with deities battling it out between light and darkness. Evil itself is a very human effort to hide in the darkness of half-truths. And truth, full truth, difficult, comprehending, transformative truth shines light on all darkness. So bear with me while I dive into a story that I have been avoiding preaching about for quite some time, a story I would rather not remember. But we must remember it, because if we're not brave enough to talk about the full breadth of the human experience here, how are we supposed to be brave enough to face it when we see it out there? Many of you, I am sure, stared into the same eyes on the front page of the Washington Post as I did when I opened the newspaper and saw the face of Kevin Ricks, an English teacher just up the road at Osborne High School, looking out at me. This man, Kevin Ricks, taught many of our own kids. He signed emails to parents with the jaunty little send-off, "Your partner in your child's success." And he is remembered by many students and families as being the one teacher among the multitudes who cared most about them and showed the most interest in their studies. He was also a serial child predator who molested and stalked at least a dozen teenage boys over the course of 30 years. moving from one teaching job to another, in and out of the United States, in and out of school districts, always staying one step ahead of the authorities, and until the very end, somehow managing to turn up perfectly clean on routine background checks. He turned up a perfectly clean background check when he applied to the Manassas City Schools in 2007. Despite suspicions about his behavior that had arisen in virtually every position he'd held over those 30 years, and there were many, despite actually being barred from school grounds on several occasions and being removed from hosting an exchange student program because of blatantly inappropriate behavior toward students, despite the fact that he would be convicted of felony theft just 9 days after starting his job here in Manassas, at the time he was hired by the Manassas City Schools, there was quite simply nothing to find in a legal sense, and so our schools didn't find it. Every time the truth of his abuses caught up with Kevin Ricks, he left before he could be fired. Every time he saw the writing on the proverbial wall, he snaked his way through the back door of institutional memory and faded off to become someone else's problem. Children were hurt. Our children were hurt. If blessedly not directly, then certainly indirectly by the reality that their school, their classroom, a place where they should be able to feel safe, was for them an unknowing minefield of danger. And when I speak of it, I once again feel like I am clutching my baby over 30,000 feet of empty space, gasping at the immensity of the danger. We are universalists. And we don't believe in hell. We also do not believe in the inherent and irredeemable depravity of any person. And yet this does not mean that we can ignore the reality of true evil when it looks us in the face. And yet this does not mean that the lie behind all lies isn't right here. The depth of this man's self-delusion and systematic lying can be illustrated by the fact that his syllabus for Honors English just last year had on it the play Doubt by John Patrick Shanley. And a viewing of the recent movie made from that text was included in his course plans. In that film, a parish priest and a hard-bitten nun who suspect him of child molestation struggle for power, and the truth becomes a murky and painful thing. So this man, a sexual predator in the schools, had his students reading about sexual predators in schools. He held up a mirror within a mirror as if he was just begging for someone to see him for what he was, because he had utterly lost the ability to see himself. As philosopher Hannah Arendt once said, much of the evil that we do in this world is banal. It is boring, run-of-the-mill, commonplace. There is nothing headline-grabbing or chill-inducing about most of the evil that even this man perpetuated in his 30-year career of predation. Most of the evil was simply a small series of ever-larger lies and half-truths, boring little efforts to make himself seem like something other than he really was. Of this man, and of all those who have hurt us, it is difficult to know how to feel. Except that in most cases, hatred for those gripped by self-delusion is less honest an emotion than pure pity. Because at least for now, this man has not found a way to let the light of truth creep in and shine upon even his inherent worth and dignity, a worth and dignity that in this moment he is denying himself. Pity. Because those gripped by falsehood and claimed by lies have not yet found their own way toward freedom. Pity for Kevin Ricks, for the architects of even the greatest destruction, because they have not allowed themselves to feel the breadth and scope of what it is to be fully human and fully alive and inherently blessed. And yet what are we to do in the face of such powerful delusion? Such banal and everyday evil that bubbles over into unspeakable betrayal. We may pity the person. The truly bold among us may work to shine light on even the most broken of lives, including the very ones who have hurt us most. But many of us, underneath our pity and our hope for change, are mostly going to be scared. Fear, after all, is not an illogical emotion. It is a useful one. As Stephen Colbert recently said, the cavemen who weren't afraid of snakes didn't live long enough to make babies. Fear protects us. It is sometimes an early warning sign that invites us to an alerted and aware state of being that calls us, when necessary, to a state of vigilance. Vigilance. Synonymous with alertness, attention, and watchfulness is perhaps the primary element that we most need when confronting the lies that we tell. It is hard to maintain such vigilance. Systems often make it even more difficult. The school systems, the administrations, even the parents who faced Kevin Ricks and his lies had a tendency, not in all cases but many, to dismiss either their own instinctual warning signs or to dance around them long enough to find some other way out that didn't involve speaking the truth. The truth is that we should be vigilant. Even in the safest places, even in this place, we should be intelligent about our choices. Evil lies made manifest in the world around them isn't confined to prison cells and dungeons vile. It is, in fact, all around us. It's a part of the human experience, and it is, in fact, within us all. It is vigilance in the face of that force which compels us all to tell untruths to ourselves. Vigilance that is necessary not to burn the sin right out of us, but to allow us to choose for ourselves a more honest way. It is vigilance that is as necessary to our continued existence as breathing. But as the Gospel of Matthew said, "I am sending you out as sheep amid the wolves. Be ye therefore as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves." As wise as serpents and without ceasing, without reservation, as gentle as doves. Be ye therefore not constrained or confined by your fear, but protected by it just long enough that you can see through it and into the continued blessedness of this sacred world we share. William James and many other psychologists have described evil as a sort of mental incapacitation, the inability or gripping unwillingness to see and speak truth. And James also notes that while evil is indeed a sickness of the soul, consuming worry about it is an additional form of disease. It is a side effect, if you will. It is another form of untruth to see only danger around us when, as Star Muir once preached here, it is distinctly possible the whole world is conspiring not to curse you, but to bless you in a thousand different ways. There's a conspiracy afoot, and it's to give you gifts. It is one thing to be vigilant. It is another thing entirely to be so consumed by fear that we succumb to what James calls world sickness, in which, in his words, all natural goods perish, riches take wings, flame is a breath, love is a cheat, your health and pleasure vanish, and dust and disappointment take the place of wonder and delight. The truth is that evil, no matter how gripping, no matter how real, does not encompass the whole of the story. We must not ignore the spaces of the human soul in which evil sets up shop, but neither should we mistakenly assume it's in every room of the house. And because we are universalists, we do not believe that evil, the lie, we do not believe that the lie ever, ever, under any circumstances, has the last word. We do not believe that the story is finished being written, not even when the cell doors slam, not even when our hearts are broken and our mouths are full of nothing but dust and ashes. Not even then. Because this world jam-packed, not just with fear, but also with blessedness, provides us with a time to celebrate. Even after all the difficult truths have been spoken, and especially when the lies that hide in darkness have been uncovered, there is a time to see this beauty that is ours, and know that evil shrinks away when, bolstered by right vigilance, we free ourselves once again to dance in delight. This world is not an inherently just place, but neither is it inherently harmful. It is broken, and it is beautiful, and there is always something salvific available, even to the most shattered and delusional of souls. Of this I feel certain. And though I do hold my child and my heart out over 30,000 feet of air, not certain if I can keep us both from falling, I also know that my arms are strong, and that it is quite a lot more likely that no matter the risks, no matter the fear, we might each hold on in the great truth of abiding love that overcomes all falsehood, than that we will ever let go. I end with the words of Ken Keith, often quoted by Mother Teresa in her work In the Darkest Corners of the Human Experience. The quote says, "People are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Be good anyway. Honesty and frankness will make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build it anyway. People need help, but will attack you if you help them. Help them anyway." May it be so. And amen.